Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Jesus told of a great banquet. The invited guests all had excuses, so the banquet host invited the poor, the crippled, those who would never expect such a treat, and who could never repay him. This parable shows us how we should tell people about the gospel. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is continuing a series from the parables he's calling You Can't Redo Life. Today we turn again to Luke chapter 14 for more on getting evangelism right.
It means that we have to go out into the highways and the hedges and find them and convince them that the invitation applies to them too. And that's why we should be so glad for the Set Free ministry here at the Moody Church, which works with abused women. That's why we should be so glad that our women's ministry under the leadership of Mary Welchel is spending a great deal of time in terms of finding out how we can help and rescue people from what is called sex trafficking, because these people are in the highways and in the hedges and in the back alleys, and they have an invitation from the King of Kings as well, and we need to tell them that. And that's the message of Moody Church around the world. And you notice the blind and the crippled and so forth, they need to be taken by the hand. And if you have never heard of By the Hand Ministries, the By the Hand Club, I hope that you go to the website and find out about it, a ministry birthed right here that is very dear to our hearts, taking children in Chicago by the hand, helping them, teaching them to read, teaching them the gospel, because the world is broken and the invitation is for those who have experienced the most pain, rejection, and marginalization. What Jesus is saying here is, look, if winners are not willing to accept my invitation into the kingdom, those who perceive themselves as winners, then find some losers and I will make them winners in the kingdom. And I will accept them and I will clothe them and I will bless them, invite them to the feast. Now, let us look very briefly at this passage of Scripture as we apply it. First of all, the banquet is ready. God says now that Jesus Christ has come and died on the cross and has been raised again. He who spared not his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? All things are found in Jesus. What is it that you need today? You say, well, I need forgiveness. Jesus died to bring it to you. You say, I need cleansing. My conscience is troubling you. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. You say, I need companionship. I need companionship. Jesus said that the blessed Holy Spirit of God who is with you shall be in you, and the Father and I shall make our abode in your life. Imagine that. Whatever it is, you say, I need to be loved. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, nakedness, or peril, or sword? Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. God cares. The table has been laid. The banquet is finished. Second, let us keep in mind that the invitation is to everyone. The invitation is to everyone. And so we go and we give that invitation. To those of you who are listening by radio or listening by way of internet, the invitation is for you too, no matter where you find yourself today. Now, Christianity is very exclusive in the sense that we know that there's no way that you can come to God and be accepted by him except through Jesus Christ. But here's the good news. The invitation to come to Jesus is to everybody. And so we emphasize that. During the time of the wedding of Prince William and Kate Middleton, A huge error was made in terms of invitations being sent out, one for which Buckingham Palace has not yet apologized. And I refer to the fact that I did not receive an invitation to go to the wedding. Still waiting for an apology. So what I did is I went online, which is the closest I could come to, and see what the invitation looked like had I received one. Perhaps it's still lost in the mail. It says this, opening line, "The Lord Chamberlain is commanded by the Queen to invite." And then it goes on from there. I thought, wow, I wonder how many people received that invitation and blew it off. I said, oh, I've got some oxen I need to check on. I have some land that I bought that I need to examine. Imagine that. The Lord Chamberlain is commanded by the Queen to invite. Now think of it. God of the universe says, ho, everyone that is thirsty, come to the waters. Come without money, come without price, come as you are, and I'll even clothe you so that you can get in on the feast. I am willing to grant to you all these things if only you come. One of the most beautiful verses in the Bible, you come. And those of you who are rationalizing today, giving all kinds of excuses as to why you don't want to come to Jesus, look at those excuses in light of the one who's giving the invitation, in light of the one who has laid the banquet and says, come with me and sup with me, dine with me, and let's connect together. Imagine that. And so I invite you to come to Christ today. And what might your excuse be not to? And this feast that Jesus is talking about begins in this life, but it extends all the way into eternity. One day Jesus was with the disciples and he said these words. He said, this cup is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. He said, drink this. And then he said, I will no longer drink with you the fruit of the vine until I drink it anew with you in the coming kingdom. And we read in Revelation chapter 19, when the bride of Jesus Christ is in heaven at what we call the marriage supper of the Lamb, it is there that we actually sit down. And the Bible says that as we are seated, it says in the Gospel of Luke, that Jesus himself will gird himself and will serve us. Jesus is going to say, now you folks sit down. I am going to serve you. And we may feel uncomfortable with that, but that's just like Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God of all gods, but teaching us to be a servant. He says, I will serve you, and you will be mine forever. Maybe I can put it this way. When you come to Jesus in this life, you first experience the hors d'oeuvres. You begin to get somewhat of a taste of what it is like. And then later on, after death, when in the coming kingdom we sup with Jesus, it is then that we enter into the full feast. And Jesus said, and as for those who reject my invitation, he said, they will not taste. They will not even get so much as a piece of lettuce. They will not get a single crouton. Listen to what Jesus said in another context. I tell you that many will come from the east and the west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The people who piously think that because of my religiosity, I most assuredly will be invited, and there's no way that Jesus could reject me, they might find themselves outside of the kingdom. The person who is listening to this message today and you feel lonely, despised within you, your conscience troubles you, you know that you are a sinner that needs to be saved. For you, there is hope. There's an invitation that has your name on it, and you can come and you can be received by Jesus and welcomed into the grand banquet, into the feast. There was a woman by the name of Charlotte Elliott. Charlotte was an invalid. living many years ago, a century or more ago, and she decided to write a poem. And she wrote a poem that later on was put into music. And her brother, who was a Presbyterian minister, said that my sister did more good in spreading the gospel through that poem than all of my sermons. And I think that when I mention the poem to you, you will immediately recognize it. And you'll also recognize the music that was put to it. The poem goes like this. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many conflicts, many a doubt, fightings within and fears without, O Lamb of God, I come. And we come to Jesus because he says, come, come as you are, and I will receive you, and I'll give you the gift of righteousness. In a moment, we're going to pray, and in a moment, we're also going to sing a couple of stanzas of that song. But the prayer that I want you to pray today, if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, will become clear if you listen carefully. I hope that it expresses the desire of your heart. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, I ask that as the invitation has gone out to the broken, to the weary, to the confused, that you by your Holy Spirit would bring them in and help them to see the beauty of Jesus and the wonder of this invitation. For those of you now who are listening who've never received Christ, you can pray a prayer like this after me. O God, I now realize that I am a greater sinner than I realized. I know that I need a Savior. I thank you that Jesus died for people just like me in my great need. And I thank you that in some ways I am loved more than I ever realized or hoped. And therefore I receive this love, this forgiveness, as I come to Jesus. I take him as mine. I say yes to your invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, that happens to be one of my favorite songs, Just As I Am Without One Plea. And as we think about the fact that the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for us, we see that in the lambs that were slain in Old Testament times. I've written a book entitled Getting Closer to God, Lessons from the Life of Moses. Not only is the Passover explained in this book, but you also have the experience of Moses when he was on the mountain seeing the glory of God, the disappointment when he disobeyed God, God's grace in the midst of the ups and downs of life. I think that this book will be a great encouragement for you, Getting Closer to God.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up Getting Evangelism Right, the eighth in a 10-part series from the parables on You Can't Redo Life. Next time on Running to Win, Getting Investments Right. Pastor Lutzer's book, Getting Closer to God, Lessons from the Life of Moses, will be sent to you as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.